Good afternoon, sir. The Honorable David Mills is going to be conducting the hearing, sir.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The Honorable David Mills is going to be conducting your hearing, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Justin Mason, 205452.
Okay, you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing. We have the Honorable Louis Canonis, the Honorable Michael Johnson, who is the acting board chair. We have the Honorable Dora Rittenhouse, and we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead. Also in the room, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. Prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir. Do I remember the form, you said?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I apologize.
Yeah, it was the form that advised you of the date and time of the hearing, or the date of the hearing.
Yes, sir.
And you signed it.
Yes, sir.
You signed it on the April 5th, 2016?
Stating that I wanted to be present?
Yes.
You said that's 16?
Yeah, well, it looks like you wrote 2016 on here, and the witness wrote 2016, but I'm sure it should have been 2018.
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, so anyway, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I didn't know that I could hire an attorney, but I guess I'll be representing myself, sir, if God will represent me, I guess.
Okay, well, the attorney is not an appointed attorney. You would have to pay for it yourself.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
so I didn't know that could be done. I apologize.
Okay, so you're going to represent yourself?
So, yes, sir.
All right, so I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in at this time. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases this afternoon, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated, and then in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So, in phase one, I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your warrant of arrest. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true, false, or if you would like to plead the Fifth Amendment. That is because there is a report number listed on the warrant indicating that there are possibly some criminal charges hanging around out there about something. Our hearings are recorded and it's public information, so anything you say today will be recorded and it could be used in a trial by the prosecutors, so that's why we give the option of pleading the Fifth. You understand that?
Yes, sir. And there's no, explaining anything?
So there will be in phase two. You'll have an opportunity in phase two to completely explain the situation.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, allegation number one is violation of Arizona Commission of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about February 20th, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary, which was dated March 21st, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
All right. Allegation number 2 is violation of the condition of supervision number 5. That is demonstrated by being in possession of a forgery instrument on or about March 12th, 2018 in Maricopa County. So is that one true or false, or do you wish to plead the Fifth, sir?
True.
Okay, thank you, sir. So based on admissions of Mr. Mason, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as a violated terms of condition of the supervision and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Canaris, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, sir, as we're ready to move into phase two, Mr. Turner's going to give us some background information first, so stay on the phone, and I'll get back with you in a couple of minutes, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Turner.
Okay, Mr. Mason was released from prison on 11/10/2016 and was arrested on 3/16/2018. He was arrested by ADC. At that time, there's no new charges. He was returned back to custody on 3/16/18. No absconded with a CCD of 8/14/2018. Current conviction is 2006, one count of armed robbery, 12 years and 6 months. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 3-4, mental health score of 3, substance abuse is a 2. No STG information is noted. No prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary history is significant with drugs, violence, forgery, and theft noted. Other arrest. This says 2002 marijuana violation, no charges filed. 2003 aggravated assault in Texas, felony conviction of probation. 2005 narcotic drug violation in Arizona, felony conviction of probation. He has a GB score of G2B4, and then we have information, Mr. Senior Parole Officer Foyser sent that he had contacted Chandler PD and they stated that they have submitted felony forgery charges to the county attorney's office as of 4/26/18.
Did they have submitted them?
They have submitted them.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Mason, let me go over a summary of your supervision. So, before release, you were approved to reside with Alexandria Owens in Chandler. Then on January 24th, 2017, you moved to 3400 North Amish School Road, number 2022 in Chandler.
Yes, sir.
And that was, oh, so you both moved.
Is that
I say both of you moved.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. You usually those changes like that, you go to live with somebody else, but you both moved. Okay, and then on November 16th, 2017, you moved to 99 West Palomino Drive, building 10, apartment number 270, again with Alexandria.
Yes, sir.
That's good. That sounds like you're a very devoted couple there. Okay, so employment. So you're working with Specialty Graphics in Phoenix?
Yes, sir.
But you lost the job, and then on June 8, 2017, you reported employment selling phones under a tent in front of the DES building. I'm only chuckling because just the way that was phrased, when you were selling phones under a tent. Those are like Obama phones?
Yes, sir. Well, we don't sell them. We give them away. They're free.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the way you described it, I said in front of a DES building, I figured they were the phones for people that can't afford them. So then on October 15th of 2017, you reported employment in the Dollar Tree on West Thomas in Mesa.
One more time, sir. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
It says that you, on October 15th, 2017, that you reported employment with Dollar Tree on West Thomas in Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So basically, you were employed the entire time you were out.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's very commendable. We're going to programming. I'm going to be quiet for a minute because I'm counting. So if you don't hear anything, that's only because I'm counting.
Yes, sir.
I'm counting your the UAs. So you were assigned a task under the schooling for random. You're random drug testing under the color pink. Looks like you had 14 negatives, and then 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 where there was no sample collected. But all so. That's not too bad if you're working. But seems that on February 23rd, 2017, you had a positive for cocaine.
Yes, sir.
That was, so what was that all about?
Long story short, I didn't know until it was like too late, and I thought it was like a regular cigarette or whatever, but apparently it wasn't. I forgot whether it was like my sister's friends or something or whatever, but they had left us all in the backyard, and you know, it was around my sister's birthday, and I didn't even know, but kind of found out, yeah. So I had to own that to it, and then they sent me to a sanction thing, so it was sanctioned. Mm-hmm. And I had to stay there and then complete that, and then that's what that was.
Okay. Well, it's almost a month later. About 3 weeks later, you were positive for marijuana again. So, but I will say this, that was way back in February and March of 2017, and as of February 2018, you had those most samples collected, but everything else was negative, so it appears that you don't have an ongoing problem with those.
Yeah, not that.
That's good. And so you were directed to attend, participate, complete the MRT, cognitive behavioral treatment program at Correctional Health Care Center, CHC, for anger management. You completed the intake process at CHC, and you were to complete 24 sessions.
Yes, sir.
And as of June 8, 2017, you completed the required 24 sessions. And you were successfully discharged, so congratulations on that, sir.
Thank you so much, sir.
There's a lot of people go out there and they start those programs, but they fail to complete them. So it looked like it says you were staffed for use of cocaine and marijuana in February, and you were referred to MRC sanctioned program. You were there for what? 3 days, okay. That's like getting put in a corner. But not everybody can complete those sanctions like that. So you said that the allegation with the forgery instrument was true. What was going on there?
Okay, well, I can't remember the month, but I had got a chance to. I'm really involved in music, and a friend was helping me with my music, and so we had a, he's serious about do a parodies and stuff, so we had did a parody, and this was my first video where I actually started, so we did a parody with one of the songs, and so we got this from the stripper game that they had from the bachelor party, and my brother got married, so it had like prop money, and basically we just used $100 bill for the video to part of the video basically, and then after it was done or whatever, I was just so happy that I did my first video, I kept it as like a souvenir, and when the officer got it, he had stated that you know, it was counterfeit or something, and I was like, well, it was prop money, like I literally got it from the game. We used it in my first video, and I kept it as a souvenir. I didn't even know that it was illegal, because I was even told, which was wrong now that I see now, that I was told that, you know, the way they get counterfeit off the streets is you take it when you find it or have it or whatever, you take it to the bank and they give you half for it. So I didn't think that it was like illegal, but I guess, you know, that's no excuse, because it is. So I know not to do that anymore, but I just kept it as a souvenir because it was my first video, and I was really happy that I was, you know, being successful in my music. So I was, you know, I wasn't even thinking that. I mean, you can't even, like, it doesn't look like the kind of, it doesn't look real at all. So I didn't think nothing of it, but apparently, you know, I made a mistake when I did that.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, apparently, the, well, the Chandler Police Department, apparently they thought it was serious enough to be submitting it to the county attorney's office for, at least for review, for submittal as a felony.
Yes, sir.
But at this point in time, it's pending. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Yes, sir.
We have some information from Department of Corrections. Yes, sir.
In allegation two on the warrant of arrest, again, my name is Jeff Sanders, parole supervisor, I swear to tell the truth. On the allegation two portion of the warrant, in the basically the last two sentences of the allegation, I'll read aloud. The offender stated that the $100 bill was in between a genuine $100 bill and a $20 bill. Upon the officer telling the offender that he was seizing the $100 bill as evidence, the offender immediately told the officer that he knew the bill was fake, as it was one of those bills that you can turn into the bank for a real one. And then it specifies the serial number. The offender was knowledgeable and did admit to the officer on the scene that he had knowledge that it was a fake bill.
Well, thank you, sir. I read that, the part about turning in the bank for money, I don't understand.
Yeah, well, like I said, I thought that, I didn't even know that it was illegal, basically, because when I was, like, told, they was like, that basically counterfeit money, in order to get counterfeit money off the streets, the bank, like, you take it to the bank and the bank gets you out, which was false, basically, obviously, now. But I was with that knowledge, but I kept it up through the mirror anyway. I was telling the officer, which he misinformed what I was actually telling him, because he made it seem like I was saying, oh, I'm going to take it to the bank to get cash, but you can't do that. I was just letting him know. I didn't even think it was illegal because of that I was told, but basically I was wrong when somebody told me that. So I was just letting him know. He said, I don't care, it's fake, and I'm taking it. I was like, oh, okay, well, I was keeping it as a souvenir, you know what I'm saying, and it kept getting messed up. Like, everywhere I would keep it, it would get worse and worse, so I kept it in between my money because it makes it more, like, I guess, it just didn't mess up anymore. So that's why, whenever I had money, I would just keep it in my wallet with my money, and that way it wouldn't mess up anymore because it was my souvenir. Like, I really honored it because it was my first music video, like, you know.
Okay.
Like, so I didn't, like, try to do anything crazy with it or anything. Like, I didn't try to use it on anything, so, like, I would have still kept it right now to this day if I could have, but I didn't even know that I was I didn't know that all of this was going to happen, basically. So I would have just basically gave him back the money to go back in the bachelor game, but the little box that it was in, but I didn't know, you know, so okay. I apologize. I own it. I did it. I'm not trying to get out of anything. I violated. I didn't know that it was going to be a violation, but now that I know, I will never mess up again. I know that because, you know, my fiance is pretty much pregnant, and her mom just died August 22nd, so it's like, we're going through that already at the time, so, like, I'm trying to, you know, get her through that, and now I have to be in here, and, you know, she's with the pregnancy, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to, I just want to get back to my job and my family, and, you know, make a difference, because I can't make a difference in here, you know, so I apologize that I violated it. I wasn't, you know, trying to purposely do anything, no.
Okay. All right, so the board's going to go into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. We ask that you stand firm. You listen to the entire discussion, but when we're talking amongst ourselves, you may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. So just remain silent, stay on the phone, and when we're finished, I'll get back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to ask one question of Mr. Turner before we actually go into discussion, and that question is, did you say in his disciplinary history there was forgery?
In my disciplinary history?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, the board will be going into discussion at this point in time. Well, it's kind of an unusual case, but, you know, a lot of things were going right for Mr. Mason, but he seems to have been slipping off the edge with Ms. Samples that his UA started in November. He was missing like about every other one that was called. And this with the apparently a counterfeit bill and with the all of the incarcerated guys had problems with forgery, which is, it would seem that he's got some knowledge of those type of situations. But based on a totality of everything, I don't see Mr. Mason as a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time. But I'd be willing to listen to discussion from my fellow board members.
I agree.
Okay, so based on all the information we have in warrant number 2018W0793, Mr. Mason's testimony and the testimony from the Department of Corrections and our discussion, I move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Mason as he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agree.
Motion by myself, Mr. Brill, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Canonis, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Mason, the board is willing to revoke your community supervision at this time. However, you will be released on or about August 14th of 2018. You won't have to report to a probation officer. You'll be able to help your family, whatever you need to do out there. We do recommend that you make a good, strong plan between now and the time you get out so that you can stay on the straight and narrow and not repeat any of your, you know, past situations, so you can stay out of the Department of Corrections. We wish you the best of luck.
I have a question.
Okay. This will end your hearing, sir, and would you put the CO food back on the phone, please?
I have a question.
He has a question.
Oh. Yes, sir.
You said something about ADC, a forgery in ADC, you said?
No, I said while you were incarcerated. Your disciplinary record while you were incarcerated includes an issue with forgery.
Yeah,
that's what came out of the Ames record. So if you didn't have a situation like that, you need to talk to your CO3 about getting that corrected, sir.
Okay. Would that help if I prove that? Because I don't have no
forgery. At this point in time, we voted to revoke your community supervision, sir, and it's doubtful that between now and August 14th that because of administrative purpose and everything, that anything would change in this, other than that they would correct your record.
So you said it won't help if I get the proof, you said?
So administratively, there's not much that can be done between now and August as far as the revocation or anything else like that. But the board has voted to revoke community supervision. And if you have an issue with your record in the AIM system, you need to talk to CO3 about that, sir.
Okay.
Okay? This will end your hearing, sir, and please put CO3 back on the phone.
Okay.